Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I work overnights as a gas station clerk in our small town. Our station is located off the highway that leads out of town, and so usually, most of the cars and trucks that come by are on long drives across the state. This makes most night shifts that I work to be unpredictable. Sometimes there would be a lot of cars and trucks coming through, but other times it would be mostly empty. This night was definitely on the slower side, but still had some cars stopping by every once in a while. Thankfully, to keep me busy, my boss had left me a bunch of tasks to get done during my shift. I had to reset one of the shelves, which meant taking everything off and repositioning the racks, then placing everything back. It's not hard or complicated, but just time-consuming. An hour into the night, I heard some thunder in the distance, and checking the forecast, it said it was going to start storming soon, so I paused what I was doing and quickly went outside to take care of the trash bins so I wouldn't have to do it later while it was raining. While I was out there, I saw a car's headlights in the dark about a quarter mile down the road. They were parked, but there was nothing out there other than large empty fields. It could have been nothing, or a flat tire possibly, but I went on with my work and got back inside. Not too long after, it started pouring outside. I continued on working on the shelves, but as the storm got worse, I had to actually lock the entrance doors because the wind kept swinging them open. Nobody had come into the store all night anyway, and now with the storm, there were barely any cars out either. While I locked up, though, I saw that the headlights were still out by the field and hadn't moved. This kept my mind occupied for the next little while as I worked. But then, through the rain, I heard the door shake louder than usual. I turned around, seeing a guy with his face right up to the door and staring right at me. He looked probably early 40s, wearing a hood over his head and having a very tired look. I unlocked the door and opened it for him, making a comment about the bad weather, but he ignored me. The guy just stood there and looked at me as water dripped from his face. Then he walked past me and started walking through the aisles like a normal shopper. Really confused by the way he was acting, I just went around the counter and waited for him to be done shopping. He walked around for a few minutes, glancing over at me a couple times, before walking out the door. I don't think he stole anything either, he just walked around and then left. Considering the weather, that was really unusual and had me almost creeped out in a way, wondering why he even bothered coming inside. I looked out the window and saw the man walking past the gas pumps and out to the road. Then he stopped on the corner and waited. A moment later, the headlights down the road started moving, coming toward the gas station and stopping right next to the guy. While I watched, the front doors started swinging open again, reminding me to go over and lock them. I then watched from the door as the guy started walking back toward the gas station and the car followed, driving into the parking lot. They parked by the front and another man got out of the car. And then both of them came walking up to the door. The first man pushed on it, as if expecting it to have still been unlocked, but instantly got angry when it didn't open. I was only a couple feet from the door, but he still banged aggressively on it while looking right at me. This was far beyond what any normal customer would do, so at this point, I knew there was more to this. I ran to the desk and triggered the alarm to notify the police station, then just watched as they both tried kicking the door down for a minute before getting in the car and speeding away. Afterward, in those minutes before police showed up, it was just so unreal how everything felt with only the sound of the storm outside. There was no doubt what was about to have happened, but it doesn't make it any less terrifying. If it wasn't storming that night, and the wind wasn't blowing the doors open, I probably never would have even locked them, meaning they could have just walked in and there would have been nothing I could do. Maybe it would have been just a regular robbery, but there's no denying that it probably would have been easiest for them to just take me down and then rob the place. Unfortunately, they were never caught, so I still find myself getting nervous on every overnight shift. I live in a small four-story apartment complex. I used to have a roommate, but they moved out a few months before this, and I decided it would be easier for me to just stay at the apartment rather than finding a new place. The other people living in the building were mostly older couples, but I'd never really met any of them. We all kept to ourselves, which I actually liked. Anyway, I was getting home from work late one night, entering the complex around 11 p.m. It was quiet as I walked up the stairs to my room, but when I rounded the corner into the hallway, a man was standing at my door. He immediately noticed me, and before I'd even had the chance to react, he started apologizing and saying he'd mixed up the doors. He then turned around and went into the apartment right across from mine. I'd never met him before, or even seen him, but seeing that he lived in the unit across from me, I figured maybe he did actually mix up the doors, especially if he'd just moved in. It was still really weird, though. I didn't know why he would just be standing outside of the door if he did think it was his, or why when he saw me, he suddenly knew that he was at the wrong door. Whatever the case, I went inside and locked the door behind me, not sure what to make of the scenario. It was so late, and I was really tired, so maybe I should have been more worried than I was, but I just didn't have the energy to think about it. I made a quick meal, then sat on the couch for a bit and watched some TV. About 30 or so minutes went by, until I heard something outside my door. It was just a quiet shuffling sound, but it sounded almost like it was up against the door. I got up and went over, listening for a second before opening it. No one was there. I then stepped into the hallway and looked down, not seeing anyone, but heard footsteps going down the stairs. I went back in and closed the door. Maybe I was overthinking it now, but I started thinking that the man could have leaned against my door to listen into my apartment. It would explain the shuffling sound I heard, and how they knew to leave as soon as I started walking up. Again, I could have just been imagining the worst case scenario, but I was definitely more shaken for the rest of the night. I didn't get in bed until 1 a.m., but I fell asleep soon after. Nothing else that I know of happened that night, or in the morning. I went to work, and again got back to the apartment around 11. Walking in, I was a bit more cautious than the night before. I walked up the stairs and looked down the hallway, but no one was at the door. Still, for some reason, I got a strange feeling seeing the hallway empty, and I didn't know why. I quickly went inside and locked the door behind me, only to turn around and be face to face with the man from last night. He was standing in the doorway to my bedroom and immediately started telling me to be quiet and do as he says, trying to direct me into the living room. I took my chances, turning back around and trying to get the door open, but the man grabbed my arm and started to pull me back just when I got it open. I yelled as loud as I could as he tried covering my mouth, but being unsuccessful, he let me go. As I ran down the stairs, I heard him leaving as well. I went straight to my car, driving away and calling the police. When they got there, the man was gone. Of course, I told them that he lived in the room across from mine, but it turned out to be a vacant unit. The man, whoever he was, didn't even live in the building. I don't know how he got into the building, or into both mine and the vacant room, but clearly he had access that he shouldn't have. What he wanted to do by breaking into my apartment and waiting for me is something I hope to never find out firsthand. With him still being out there, though, all I can do is pray he wasn't targeting me in particular. This happened a few months ago. I'm 32 and live in a small house alone. It was one of my days off of work, so I was at home trying to relax and enjoy the day. It was about 4 p.m. and I had just started cooking dinner when a knock came from the front door. I put everything down and went up to the front. There was a man standing on my porch, and behind him was a small gray van parked on the curb. I opened the door.
"How can I help you?"
The man had a delayed reaction, but then said he was doing free home inspections in the neighborhood and wanted to offer me a free inspection for my house. The whole time he was speaking, though, it wasn't even like a typical salesperson. He said it all in a monotone voice and with just a blank expression. Even if he was normal, though, it seemed kind of sketchy, so I said I was okay and closed the door. I went back to the kitchen and continued cooking, but after a few minutes, I started getting a really weird feeling about that man that came to my door and what he was up to. I walked back up to the front to make sure he'd driven away, but when I looked out the peephole, the man was still on my porch. He looked spaced out, staring at the door and not moving. By now, I was sure there was something wrong with him. Maybe he was drunk or high, or just not all mentally there. But what he was actually doing at my house, I still didn't know. Not wanting to take any risks, I went back to the kitchen and called the police to report the strange man staying outside my house. They said an officer would arrive in a few minutes, so I went back and kept watching the man. About a minute later, though, he walked off my porch and into his van, then drove away just before the officer made it. The timing of that was unfortunate, but at the end of the day, I was just happy he was gone. I gave a description to the officer just in case, then went back to trying to enjoy the rest of my night. At least a couple hours passed with no more conflict. It was 8 or 9 p.m., and I was resting in my bed on my phone. But through the open window, I heard the rattling sound of an old vehicle pulling up and parking outside my house. Once I heard someone getting out, I quickly went up to the window. It was that same old van, but I didn't see the man anywhere. He must have rushed away as soon as he got out. Again, I quickly got my phone and called 911, but after reporting it, and just as I hung up, there was a loud thump downstairs. It felt like I could almost feel the walls shake a little, so I knew the man was likely trying to break in. I opened my bedroom door and went out into the hallway, then looked down the staircase and tried to listen. It was now eerily quiet. I walked down a few steps and looked around. All of the lights were off, but I saw the curtains by one of the windows slightly swaying in the wind. I looked closer, seeing the window had been forced open. My whole body tensed up as I tried to control myself, knowing the man was likely somewhere in my house right now. I carefully and quietly went back up the steps, then hid in the bedroom closet. I didn't hear anything until a few minutes later when two officers knocked on the front door. I ran down and let them in, but still, we didn't hear anyone trying to run away or anything. It only took a few seconds for the officers to find the man hiding behind the kitchen counter. He gave up without a fight. Disturbingly, though, he was holding a large hammer, which he'd used to force open the window. Apparently, when they tested him at the station, he wasn't high or drunk, but he still had that eerily vacant personality. He never said his intentions, almost like he didn't even remember that anything had happened. It's hard for me not to think about the other ways this could have gone, though. If I'd gone to sleep and not heard him get in, I might have come to a horrible fate in the morning, or possibly not even been given the luxury of waking up. I was out camping in the backcountry near where I lived. I'm not much of a hiker, so I never take trails more than a mile or two. This one was just over a mile from the campsite to the trailhead where my car was parked. I'd been spending the weekend there, camping out by the lake, and was planning on staying for another 2 nights. On the third day, I spent the morning hiking back to my truck and grabbing my fishing rod and some spare food, then hiking back to the camp. I thought I'd try my luck at fishing while I had the time. When I got back to the camp, though, there was another tent set up. It was farther down on the edge of the lake, and I didn't see anyone by it. Initially, I didn't care. But then it came through my mind that I hadn't seen anyone on the only trail leading to this part of the lake. Then again, there could be some other path that I just didn't know about. Whatever the case, I set up my rod and got to fishing. Every 20-ish minutes, I'd glance over at the tent on the side of the lake, but at no point during the 3 hours I was out there did I see anyone. Once the sun was starting to get lower, I packed up my rod and went back to my tent. I ate and got some sticks for the campfire, then waited for it to get a little darker before lighting it up. As soon as I did, I saw someone's shadow move in the forest ahead of me. They were just far enough for the light to not reach them, so after that quick glimpse, all I could see was total darkness. I made the assumption that it was the person with the tent down by the lake, probably gathering sticks for a fire. It was weird that just when I lit up my campfire, they were right outside my camp, but I chose to not overthink it. I leaned back in my chair and relaxed, looking at the fire, the sky, and the lake. It was so calming, I almost wanted to fall asleep in the chair. But just a half hour later, I looked past the fire and saw several figures coming from the forest. Once they were closer, I counted 4 men, all coming right up to my campsite. There was a lot going through my head, but I tried to suppress any nervous feelings and hoped it was just a nearby camping group in need of help or something. When they came into the light, I could see that they were all in their 30s or 40s and had straight faces. Once they were just a few feet from me and were still walking, I got up from my chair and nervously began asking what they needed. None of them responded, only continuing to walk up. Two of them went behind me, going straight for my tent, as the other two pushed me aside. There was no doubt what was going on now, but I knew fighting back would only make things worse. I watched the two men start searching through my things, as the other two continued to push me further away. I tried saying anything I could, but the men had an emptiness to their eyes that showed they did not care at all. I was telling myself in my head to just stay calm and let them take what they want. But the two men kept pushing and dragging me further and further out, away from the campsite and away from the light. After a minute, I could barely see where we were going and couldn't hear anything but our footsteps in the silent forest. Then we stopped. I turned and faced them, and as we stood in the darkness between the trees, all my fears just hit me at once. One of them reached for something, and I instantly took off running. All I could hear were my footsteps pounding against the leaves and grass as I got further out. I still had a general sense of direction, so I tried to get back to the trail. When I did, I went straight for my truck, and from what I could tell, nobody followed me. I reported the case to the police, but in the end, almost all of my stuff was stolen, and no trace was left to help figure out who they were. What they were dragging me out into the forest to do is probably obvious, so I think I was beyond lucky to have made it out with my life. My brother Jason and I moved out to Colorado several years back. We both wanted to live by the mountains, but neither of us could afford to on our own, so we split the rent on a townhome in the suburbs right outside of Denver. This worked out perfectly because we were only 10 to 15 minutes away from a huge line of mountains. One thing I will mention about these nearby hiking and camping trails, though, is that they're pretty packed. It's so accessible to everyone around, and to tourists, that almost any time of the year, it's hard to find solitude. Because of this, me and my brother decided to plan a 3-day backpacking trip that would take us away from the crowd of people, and hopefully give us some peace and quiet. I trusted him to route our trip, and a couple weeks later, we drove down to the trailhead. Only one other car was parked there when we arrived. It was some old-looking SUV covered in dust, looking like it'd been through a rough drive. Seeing as it was likely only one other person was hiking this route, we went in with a positive attitude. The first day of backpacking was an 8-mile hike. Most of the terrain was actually flat until we got to the last couple miles where we started up a mountainside. It was pretty tiring, but Jason promised that the campsite would be worth it, and it turned out he wasn't lying at all. About 3/4 up the mountain, there was a small flat area right on the side of the cliff, with a view of the whole valley. It was stunning, especially with the sun starting to set. After taking in the view, we started pitching our tents, then gathered up some sticks and stones to make a fire pit with. Once the fire was going, we sat down and just talked. I don't even have any idea how long we were talking for, at least 2 hours or something, when we both heard something from the trail. We instantly went silent, listening as footsteps started making their way up the trail and toward our campsite. A minute later, A man came out of the dark and into the far light coming from our fire. He wasn't wearing a headlamp, which every hiker and camper knows is an absolute must when there's even the possibility of being out in the dark. As he walked up, I think both Jason and I knew something was wrong. He had a grin on his face just as he approached the campfire.
"Hey, did you need something?"
Jason asked, standing up. The man looked at Jason, then at me, keeping his grin as he started to explain himself. He said he was a park ranger and had been following our trail for a while. He said this section had been closed off for the season and we couldn't be here. Something was really off, though, because we knew this park was open and we had even gotten permits from the state the day prior to camping out there. We also knew that park rangers would not be out here in the middle of a mountain trail at night. But if he wasn't who he said he was, then what was he doing out here? I could tell Jason's mind was racing too, as we both looked at the man and started asking questions, but he cut us off quickly.
"You both need to leave with me right now. Pack up and follow me. I'll lead you guys back to the trailhead."
We stood there in silence for a moment, taking in what he just said and realizing that there was something seriously wrong here. The man still stayed by the fire with that same grin on his face.
"No, we're staying here,"
Jason said. The man looked at him again, then at me, keeping that same eerie grin as he just turned around and walked away. Terrified, we didn't even speak for a few minutes, just listening to make sure he didn't come back. Then we grabbed some more dry sticks and rekindled the fire. Neither of us were sleeping. We stayed up the entire night, sometimes hearing what we thought were footsteps again, but never seeing the man. Once the sun was up, we packed and left, cutting our trip short and retracing the trail back to our car. When we got back, that same dusty SUV was there, which got us both wondering if that hiker had run into the same man as us, and what happened to them. We notified the police, but ultimately found nothing out of it. There was no doubt the man was lying about being a park ranger, but the fact that he tried to lead us out into the woods in the middle of the night means he was likely trying something horrible. What that was, we don't know, but it seems like the other hiker may have been unfortunate enough to find out. I used to go camping all the time with some of my buddies from college, but once we graduated, we could never find time anymore. Everyone's schedules were different, so I ended up going out on my own. There was a camping ground that we used to go to a lot, so I played it safe and went to that same place. It was somewhat far out and not the easiest to get to, but that's why I liked it. Nobody would ever be there because there were a lot of easier options nearby to camp at. Knowing the route, I got there no problem and set all of my stuff up. Not long after, though, a man showed up. He looked like any other hiker, but he only had a small backpack, so definitely no tent or camping gear. The only thing that had me questioning why he was here was that this wasn't a very scenic spot or anything. It was a nice place to camp because it was an open area with trees around, but if you're not camping, then there would be no reason to hike all the way out here. I didn't think all that much about it at the time, because the man seemed normal enough. Maybe he just wanted a quiet space to relax for a bit. I stayed by my tent, and the man stayed on the other side of the campgrounds. Around 6, I walked away from my tent to cook my food, and it was around this time that I saw the man finally leave. I thought it was a little late to be walking back, because it was going to be completely dark in less than an hour, and the hike was probably 3 hours. Other than that, I was just happy to be alone now. I boiled some water with my mini stove and made one of my freeze-dried meals, then went back near my tent and sat down. The sun was just about gone, so I brought out a small lantern and hung it on the side of the tent as I stayed outside and took in the atmosphere. It suddenly hit me that I was alone out there, and that usually this is when we'd all gather around and talk by a campfire, but by myself, I didn't really have anything to do. After a while, I turned off the lantern and went inside my tent, laying down and turning in for the night. Sometime in the middle of the night, I woke up to the sound of footsteps nearby. When I opened my eyes, it was pitch black, and I had no idea how long I'd been asleep for, but the footsteps came closer and closer until they stopped on the other end of the campground. After a few seconds, I felt around for my lantern and turned it on, then unzipped the tent and looked out. 20 or so feet from my tent, there was the shape of a man standing right by where I'd seen the guy from earlier standing, and from what I can make out, it was likely the same person. But they were just standing there, not doing anything. It was far enough into the night that this was immediately disturbing, no matter the context, and having turned my lantern on, he definitely saw me.
"Hey, are you okay?"
I called out to him. I waited a couple seconds, but he didn't show any signs of acknowledging me. I couldn't even tell which direction he was facing, but he was either facing away from me, or directly at me, and I don't even know which way was more disturbing. I reached for my pocket knife from my backpack, then did the only thing I could do, which was stay sitting there and wait. The most increasingly uneasy 15 minutes of my life passed as I looked at this man standing there and barely move, before he suddenly turned and walked off in the same direction he had gone before. And I could see from the way his figure moved when he turned that he had been facing me. So that whole time he was there, he was just staring at me. I felt chills run through me as the man's footsteps got quieter and quieter, fading out in the distance. I didn't know what else to do other than stay up in case he came back, and as far as I know, he never did. I left in the morning and got back safely, but since then, I haven't been out camping. I don't know what that man was doing, but there's no world in which that wasn't extremely disturbing. Maybe I scared him off by waking up and watching him to make sure he didn't do anything, but that just terrifies me to think about if I hadn't woken up that night.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.